And it's time to look at the history of the series of the Browns' upcoming opponent. Of course, this would be the Raiders. And helping us to do that, as he always does on this show, is our great friend and resident historian, Steve King. Steve, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back.
Well, let's talk about the Browns and Raiders. It's a long history, and it's also got some incredible moments. I mean, defining moments between the Browns and Raiders, and everyone, well, I say everyone, a lot of folks, I'm sure, know it in a sad way about Red Right 88, that playoff loss, that very fateful play.
Yes, and it was an interesting game, and I will say this, and everybody knows what happened. We've discussed that game, and it's been discussed a thousand times, but I think the interesting thing for a lot of our listeners who either, and that's been 32 years ago, so that's been a long time, either don't remember it or are fuzzy about details of it or weren't even born yet, because you got to remember that, as I said, 32 years ago.
Right.
I would ask them to do one thing, and if they want to get how good things can be in Cleveland when the Browns are winning, you go back to that 1980 season, which was really
like an apex.
It really was. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. It probably was the most exciting season in team history. And if you go on Google Cleveland Browns 1980 Cardiac Kids, there is a YouTube video that, if it's not at the top of the list, will be right there. It's 7 minutes and I think 53 seconds. So if you've got that one, you've got the right one. And it is the actual telecast of the last couple minutes of that Raiders-Browns game, and it fades away, thankfully, before Sipe makes the pass, but it's been put to music, and it is really cool because you get to see the excitement in that stadium that day. And I got to remember, it was 0 degrees when the game started, minus 37 wind chill. This is the fourth quarter, so these people by that point are begging for minus 37 wind chill. And yet you see people in the stands jumping up and down, and you probably look at these people on Monday and their bankers, their lawyers, their doctors,
but
they were all little kids and they were so happy. You got the excitement of that season, and I would caution anyone that is really the standard bearer for everything, how good it can be with the Cleveland Browns.
Give me your best summation of how it all came to pass. Sam Bertigliano, the head coach of that Cardiac Kids Browns team, Brian Sipe, the quarterback, and Ozzie Newsome, the tight end. The thinking as you've, because through the years we ask those questions, revisionist history, all those things come into play. But lay out for many of those who might not know just how it all came to pass and what Red Right 88 is all about.
Well, it was the play, actually a second down play. Browns were running, I think it was from about the Oakland 13-yard line. The score was 14-12 Oakland, so the Browns, all they needed to do was kick a field goal. But Don Cockcroft had a bad back that year, and he had struggled all day, as you might expect with those kind of conditions, kicking the ball. So every kick was an adventure. So the Browns, if they could, wanted to get the ball into the end zone, but the impetus was, if they didn't get the ball into the end zone on this second down play, they were going to run it into the middle of the line on third down, center of the ball, and have Cockcroft come on. Sipe had been instructed to, as Sam will colorfully tell this story, to throw the ball into the blind in the first row if the play wasn't open. But Mike Davis, the infamous Mike Davis, jumped a route differently, actually jumped it wrong, and differently than they had ever seen on film. He went to the wrong guy, and Sipe was had Dave Logan open, wide open in the end zone, but instead went to Ozzie across the middle because that's the guy he saw open. That's the guy that was supposed to be open on that play if the Raiders did what they always had done in that type of coverage. But Mike Davis did the wrong thing, but did the right thing by coming up and grabbing the ball. Now, the interesting story on that, the kind of addendum to that is after that 1981 season, Sam traded Greg Pruitt and Lyle Alzado to the Raiders.
Right.
and regrets it to this day that he did it. But it was in the training camp of 1982, and he gets a call one day from Greg Pruitt. He says, "Sam, you won't believe this." He says, "What's wrong, Greg?" He says, "We just practiced today, and I watched Mike Davis, and he couldn't catch anything. He was dropping every ball in every drill that you could imagine, and yet he, in that, on that cold day when everybody was dropping everything, it's like he had glue on his hands." Vic, it wasn't meant to be.
That just rubs it in. Steve King, our resident historian, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Besides that moment, that play, that playoff game, what else kind of defines the Browns Raiders history?
Well, it was actually the everybody knows the first Monday Night Football game, and you know, was held in Cleveland, the Browns and Jets in 1970. The second one that was held in Cleveland was the Browns and Raiders in 1971, early in the season. Browns and Raiders, we talked about the cardiac kid season of 1980 meeting in the playoffs, but they actually met in the playoffs 2 years later in that strike-shortened season. Kind of a messed-up season, yeah, in every way, shape, or form. They went out to Oakland and lost. Was a tied, I think, 10-10 at half, and I think they ended up losing like 27-10. And the Raiders have always been kind of the, you know, with Al Davis, the swashbuckling bunch, and the Browns have always been the old standard bearer of the NFL. So you have these two, divergent forces meeting together. But it's been a great series, been a lot of great games, and I look for the game Sunday to be good. And you look over the last several years, those games have all come right down to the end.
Yeah, they have. Well, we'll see how this one works out. I think Browns fans would love a little, you know, a little breather, but any way to get a win. Steve, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
All right. He is Steve King, our resident historian, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.